RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Dr. Reuben Kirkham is the co-director of the Free Speech Union of Australia, a non-profit dedicated to the protection of free speech from opposing cultural trends and legal impingements. The FSUAU is strictly a non-partisan and non-political organisation, and we've asked Reuben to come on to discuss the campaign of the Free Speech Australia to abolish the eSafety Commissioner, Julie Inman Grant. We've talked about her quite a few times here at RCR already. She is Australia's eSafety Commissioner, the world's first government regulatory agency committed to keeping its citizens safer online. The Commissioner also serves on the World Economic Forum's Global Coalition for Digital Safety. Under her term, eSafety has also joined forces with the White House Gender Policy Council and Government of Denmark on the Global Partnership for Action on Gender-Based Harassment and Abuse. And their main goals are, one, cyberbullying; two, adult cyber abuse; three, image-based abuse, that's revenge porn and blackmailing; and four, illegal and restricted online content, videos showing extreme violence. Reuben, welcome to RCR. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Is this eSafety Commissioner position, role, entity worth having at all, do you think?
Absolutely not. So the Commissioner is an oxymoron. The eSafety Commissioner is not protecting people online. She is doing the opposite. She is undermining internet privacy rights. She even went to the federal court in Australia, and thankfully this was rejected, to try and stop people accessing Twitter using VPNs. She was saying that, you know, anything that any of the content she wants blocked be blocked worldwide to anyone using a VPN. That's the opposite of eSafety. She spends her time trying to shut down people who are against child abuse, and particular abuses that have happened. We had Graham Linehan over, for example, and that's nothing to the eSafety, but a similar type of censorship is going on here. She's trying to censor critiques of gender ideology. And ironically, she claims she's censoring, trying to stop misinformation. She purveys misinformation. So she has these schemes. These schemes are not actually what she does for the most part. Those schemes were supposed to be narrowly tailored and to have proper protections of freedom of expression and people's genuine rights. She has decided that, you know, she'll ignore the tight framework of the Act and she does what she wants. And that's really what's going on. And we're fighting back. We're basically trying to protect the worldwide internet, and this battle is going off in Australia.
Tell us about what happened, Reuben, around Mar Murray Emanuel.
So Mar Murray Emanuel was a bishop who was stabbed whilst giving a sermon. And this was on his live stream. It was recorded what happened. And the eSafety Commissioner wanted the footage of this taken down because apparently it was a terrorist incident. The bishop himself says that this should not be taken down. The video clip that she's focused on, there's no blood. It's just someone angrily waving a knife and stabbing him several times. She wants it taken down entirely. Apparently, the main aspect was the screaming. But you don't use that as a basis to take down an entire post. And it's a very weird thing for a commissioner to be doing. Would you censor 9/11? Would you censor footage coming out of the Israel-Palestine conflict? Would you censor the Ukraine war? By that logic, you would censor all three of those things. You wouldn't have access to news, or only the news in the format she dictates. But it's also extreme. I mean, if the issue is the noise, the people screaming, then mute the video for that part. You don't have to remove your entire video. And this is what news outlets do. They don't censor it, but they do, if they're on primetime TV, display it in such a way that people aren't going to have nervous shock. And that is kind of the issue here, that she is just wants to take away news and wants to control the narrative. That's nothing to do with safety. That is to do with censorship.
What do we know about this woman? Have you done much looking into where she's come from? And it sounds on the surface that there's some sort of ideological driver behind her approach, the way she thinks in this role.
Well, I mean, she is an ideologue. I'm not going to dig in too much about where she comes from, but she got here by accident. So there's been lots of these tech policy people, and they talk some technological language, or even though they don't really understand it. That's the fun part of these tech policy people. They don't actually understand, for example, how computers work. So she's not a technological expert. The Liberal government, so believe it or not, this was an appointment by a Liberal government, didn't quite understand this. And then they appointed her, and she's gone off the rails. She's not doing any of the things that she says she's doing. She is literally just sitting there, or our team are sitting there, 200 staff now, are sitting there censoring content. And mostly from a political point of view, a lot of the complaints seem to come from people who they've cultivated. So they have these e-safety trainings, and of course they are the QIETC activist group. So they are the ones bringing complaints, and they're the ones getting content censored from the internet. But what she does is very insidious. She often tries and does this by the back door. So you'll never know in most cases that the e-safety commissioner's office have made this complaint or issued a notice to the tech company. This is despite the law saying she has to tell them. And she says, well, these notices are informal, therefore I don't have to tell you. 99% of the time these notices are informal. But she enforces it in a different way. So basically, if the tech companies aren't frequently implementing those notices, then she'll use other sanctions. So she'll do it all outside that, all outside what's supposed to be a statutory regime that protects people. So her background is essentially someone who's managed to sneak up and get this position. I'm not going to go into the conspiracy theories around the CIA. I think it's quite simple. You know, she's one of those activists who's managed to climb the pole. She said things that convinced people that weren't true. And, you know, it's very easy to do around technology, right? Because most people don't understand it. I mean, I have a computer science PhD by training. So I'm familiar with these people. They show up at our conferences. They tell us that, for example, you shouldn't make technologies for disabled people who want them because that's not inclusive, apparently. We should just wait for society to include disabled people. So I had these weird people showing up when I was an academic many, many years ago. So I'm familiar with the types. This is what's happened. The Liberal government were caught, in short. And now we've got a Labour government who are supporting her. And Liberals haven't yet unwound their support of the safety commissioner. So ostensibly she's supported by both sides. But there are many members of Parliament, including on the Liberal side, who are trying to put a stop to this.
A major push for e-safety has been online identification. And that's a proposal introducing ID verification for online porn, which sounds reasonable. I could see how people could buy that argument, let's say. But also included along with it, verification for app stores, multiplayer video games, internet service providers, and social media sites. Where does the Australian FSU, Ruben, stand on online identification, the concept of it anyway?
Well, we're against it. It's wholly inappropriate. I mean, as soon as you start requiring people to identify online, you're sacrificing their privacy. The reality is this is not going to be kept safe. You might as well just make people keep a list of the things they've done, websites they've visited on the internet. And it's completely unnecessary. If your goal is to protect children from porn, you can do this on device. You know, you can set up, you know, put software on devices that will, in real time, look at that content and say, well, that's probably porn. And, you know, parental controls, that's an entirely different issue. So it's a red herring. If you want to protect kids, set up parental controls on those devices. Make Google, who control Android, do it, and make Apple, who control iOS, do it. That's not hard. And there's software already. And wonderful advances in AI means that now you have these devices called neural processing units on your phone. So it's got the performance to analyze a video in real time and tell you whether it's porn or violent. And if kids are repeatedly attempting to access that content, then the parents can take their phones off them. So the solution exists. It's not censoring the whole internet. The solution is, the people who are sensitive, let them have the protection they want. You know, from themselves and from seeing things they don't want to see. And, you know, parents up to a certain age. But this is ineffective and it will actually make things worse because, of course, there will be websites who don't comply with the safety commissioner's diktats. So you'll have all these completely Wild West websites who will do absolutely nothing, right? There's no responsibility at all. And they'll be posted in Russia or somewhere. Like, so it's completely the wrong solution. It's nothing to do with that problem. It's never going to solve that problem. It's going to make it worse. But it may have the impact of, you know, censoring the internet, which I assume is, you know, the goal. It basically means that people can't be anonymous online anymore when they're using common social media platforms. So that's really what it's about. It's nothing to do with protecting kids from porn or anything like that.
So it's a veneer thin argument. It has the veneer of credibility, but any slight examination is what you've just been talking about now.
Well, it's a, what would I say? What's the word they love? Misinformation.
Oh dear.
It's misinformation that this is about protecting kids from porn. It's not going to do that. It's not going to work in that way. And it's just, you know, something that's made up to pretend that they're protecting people. All the protections that the Safety Commissioner offer a Pope Temkin, we got sent by her office or by lawyers acting for Teddy Cook's phone number. Teddy Cook is an activist who complained about being misgendered online and some sort of Daily Mail article and Billboard Chris's tweet. And when we were acting for Billboard Chris, they sent, you know, Billboard Chris, allegedly an adult cyber abuser, of course, nothing of the sort. They were sending him Teddy Cook's phone number. So they obviously don't care about privacy, right? But, you know, this is an organization that calls itself eSafety and doesn't have basic protections for people's privacy who complain to them. They just see these complainants as a vehicle to pursue their agenda. So, you know, look at what they do. They do the opposite of eSafety. Literally, they do the opposite of eSafety. Then look at the people they're targeting. They're targeting people who are supporting genuine child safety campaigns, like don't give puberty blockers to kids. You know, that's a legitimate campaign for people to run, surely. It's legitimate to support the CAS review. You can go on and on, right? But the people that are being targeted as, you know, the child safety campaigners, you know. So if you think she's interested in child safety, why is she going after child safety campaigners?
Yeah, I've watched some of Billboard Chris's content, and you could hardly accuse him of being an online abuser. He just has chats with people in the street. It's nothing more than that.
Well, that's probably what they're scared of, isn't it? You know, what people might, if you have an honest conversation. But Billboard Chris isn't the biggest case, you know, at the minute. The case we've got is Selene v. Machine versus eSafety Commissioner. And in that case, the eSafety Commissioner gave a notice to X, and X forwarded it on, thankfully, to Selene, saying that they'd received this notice. And the eSafety Commissioner is claiming, well, this wasn't a real notice, therefore you can't appeal it, which is absurd. So this is what she does 99% of the time. Now, of course, the real reason people can't normally appeal it is because they don't know the notice exists.
Right.
Because... Yeah, if it's anyone but X, if it's Instagram, if it's Meta, if it's Facebook, they don't tell you that they've received this notice. So what more likely happens is your post gets taken down if you're lucky. Maybe your account gets taken down because they've sent this often libelous report from ones we've seen to the provider, and the provider never tells you. Now, this is all upended when Elon Musk took over Twitter and turned it into X Corp. And, you know, so it doesn't quite work. But she has basically said, yeah, we had no jurisdiction to issue that notice, but that's why it wasn't really a notice, and therefore you can't appeal this notice. Now, that is not the law in Australia, thankfully, unless the tribunal decides that they're going to overturn decisions from literally the 1970s before I was born. So it's quite straightforward. And the case law says the decisions that are made in excess of power or without jurisdiction, the ones that most need to be reviewed. So we've got a hearing next week in the Administrative Appeals Tribunal. The eSafety Commissioner is trying to avoid disclosing documents at the minute, the usual games they play. So they're like saying it's oppressive for them to have to disclose documents. And it's like the documents they disclose are misleading and contradict what's in their own freedom of information disclosure law. So they've got this very strange narrative, and the documents are written after they sent the report to X some days later. It's like, so it's like some sort of post facto justification for what they did, which wasn't lawful, had no basis. And then they found out that, you know, it was going to be challenged because X forwarded on the fact that eSafety sent them this notice, and people like Billboard Chris and Senator Ralph Babbitt were retweeting it, so of course defeating the point. And the video was opposing, believe it or not, a queer club in a primary school. And it's like perfectly legitimate for someone to say, well, hang on, you know, we don't want our kids being sexualized in this way. And that's a legitimate video to put up, and it's legitimate to draw public attention to that fact. But the Safety Commissioner thinks otherwise. And they admit, you know, so essentially we're going to have this hearing, and the hearing should, you know, unless something goes wrong, conclude that the eSafety Commissioner had no jurisdiction, there is no notice, therefore this should never have happened, and that's the end of the matter. But then they've been issuing thousands of these notices, and if you retweet a post, you have the right to appeal. If you quote tweeted a post, you definitely have the right to appeal, because that's what the Online Safety Act says in its definitions and texts. So the eSafety Commissioner sits there inventing laws, inventing powers, and so far, until we realised what was going on. So no one realised there was an eSafety Commissioner about 3 or 4 months ago, until Billboard Chris put his tweet of him, where he said, actually, yeah, here's how you can appeal it. No one had challenged an eSafety Commissioner decision before, because of course they didn't know. And the eSafety Commissioner herself has this great video of her at an event saying, well, look, I've got all these safeguards. I've got the Freedom of Information Act. I've got the AAT, the Administrative Appeals Tribunal, the Federal Court, the Ombudsman. Well, of course you've had no complaints, because no one knows what you've been doing. You've been skulking around in the dark doing this in secret.
This is ridiculous. Hearing you describe it, it's a bit of an overused term now. It's a clown world, isn't it? It really is. It's an upside down clown world. It's almost embarrassing to hear about.
It's, I mean, you interact with, I mean, I interact with our office. So we set up a tool to send freedom of information requests. The reason we set it up was because in these federal court proceedings, she submitted this meltwater report of all these tweets and people she was monitoring. And this was to, ironically, secure anonymity for her own staff, whilst all our names were dumped in this court file that was put on the internet. So we set up a little form on our website on ndsafety.au /ask. And you could just send, it takes you 30 seconds, you can put in a freedom of information request. And we put in this feature basically requiring her to respond by tweet, which is what the law says you can do. They were just refusing to do that. But what our one, they said they had so many records that they couldn't afford to give us it under the Act. They said they found 4,000 records. And it's like, well, so hang on, what's going on here? Why is the eSafety Commissioner saying that it's deliberate misinformation that she's monitoring people? Then we put a request in for the records, right? We assume that the response would be, we've got nothing. No, no, the response is, we've got so much, we can't give you anything. And it's like, what's going on here? And I said, is this a mistake? You know, I tried to have a meeting with them. These safety staff, by the way, you know, like, they had a set up a meeting on Zoom. They made sure they were anonymous. They didn't turn their camera on. The screen name was eSafety, believe it or not. It's like this Orwellian 1984 type thing. And for the people who made requests by tweet, she said you should use a fax machine instead, using the appropriate platform for response. A fax machine, crikey. Quote unquote. I mean, this is 1984 type stuff, literally, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the era of that, yeah, for sure. Surely that's a joke. That must have been some kind of joke.
No, no. deadly serious. Fax machine, appropriate response, modern communication like X, not. And, you know, 10 years ago, she might have been able to say, well, look, it's only 160 characters, we can't respond, fair enough, right? But you go to countries like the UK, people are using Twitter, or X as it now is, to send FOI requests and getting the responses back. Now, in Australia, they choose how to receive the requests. So all the requests we sent were from a no-reply email address. But we said, you can only respond to us on Twitter.
Yeah.
So some of them gave their email addresses anyway, so she had to reply to those ones. But her office are running around, how do I respond to all these FOI requests? It's like, well, if you hold nothing, it's really simple. You know, it's 5 minutes to put some tweets up saying, dear sir, and say, thank you for your FOI request. We hold nothing. But of course, hold information, which is why, of course, these FOI requests are causing so much disruption in their office, because they are holding this information. Now, it's like 4,000 records. And this was we'd only been, you know, started campaigning on this issue, right? It hadn't even kicked off at the point we were asking for, right? So we're asking several months ago, you know, as you know, the timelines of freedom of information. And I talked to their lawyer and I was like, so what is going on here? What searches are taking place? How have you managed to get 4,000 documents? And I was like, would you be able to give us a list of these documents or some of the metadata so we can select? So it's ended up them refusing the request and me putting a new FOI request in for the metadata. Wow. So we'll find out what she has and we'll see which ones we really want to look at. But it's remarkable.
Tell us, just to wind up, the campaign to abolish e-safety commissioner, what are the key actions that you're going to follow through on to make this, because you want to make it happen, right?
Well, yes, we're going to make it happen. I mean, we've got legal cases against her. That's one thing. These legal cases will show up what's going on in her office. We will, you know, put it this way, after those legal cases happen, I don't think she'll be in her role. We will expose the things she's doing. And we have been very successful in doing that so far. We've made her office an office that the press were saying less than a year ago, Elon Musk doesn't know about, he would never care about. You know, become the core celebre of people trying to save the internet. You know, not her, but, you know, the campaign against her office. So, you know, there are questions being asked routinely over in Parliament. What are you censoring? We'll get to the bottom of what she's doing. And when we get to the bottom of what she's doing, we don't think that a Liberal government will tolerate her. So there's likely to be an election soon in Australia. We think after the election, there will be the opportunity to challenge what her office are doing, depending on who gets elected. But the reality is, even if Labour get re-elected, they'll be likely be in a weaker position. So they'll have to decide, do they want this unpopularity of trying to censor the worldwide internet? And I think a lot of these politicians now think she's, you know, this online safety stuff is a bit dangerous. We don't really know what it is. This might come back and bite us. Do we want to play test putting our hands in the meat grinder again? Probably not, you know? Yeah. So we're already there. We're already succeeding. Actually, we're putting a lot of pressure on our office. We're showing what's going on. People are thinking, hang on, I don't want this. So this was something until we started campaigning that no one knew about.
Yeah. Yeah, and you need to shine the light. You're doing that. It's fascinating. We're going to keep an eye on this, Ruben, and hopefully we can maybe get some sort of update as this sort of rolls through, because obviously here we have our own issues and we're keeping an eye on those as well. So Dr. Ruben Kirkham, co-director of Free Speech Union Australia, thanks for coming on RCR and explaining all that.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much.
Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.